And tonight I want to give you, we'll call it a sermon, give you a sermon on expect good things from God. Expect good things from God. If we are saved and born again, which I, you know, between you and the Lord, but as I look out here, I believe I know most of you, and you make a claim, you claim to be saved and have a profession of faith. And if we're saved and born again, we understand biblically that we are the children of God. And he is our Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It means Father. And so because of that adoption, because of the Lord through salvation receiving us into his family, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his children. And when we pray, and when we come to church to hear from the Lord, and when we read his holy word, we're taught by his Holy Spirit, we can expect good things from God. We can expect them. The Bible says in verse number 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." And my expectation from the Lord is only good. It's only good. Why? Because I know even when my flesh doesn't agree with his good, it's for my betterment. And so when the Lord has something to say from the pulpit, or has something to say from his scriptures, or has something to communicate through prayer, or has something in this life that's for me as a father to a son, I know it's going to be good for me. And I know that I look to God with an expectation of good things. And when we come to church, we should be expecting some good thing from God. My preaching is a lot better when you're expecting a good thing from the Lord. When you're expecting a fancy outline, or expecting a personality or a joke or something like that, I might let you down. Odds are pretty good. But when we come expecting something from the Lord and understanding this spiritual transaction where God places a man for that moment in the pulpit, which tonight is me, and tomorrow night will be Brother Gip. When he places that man in the pulpit, he's using that man to have a spiritual transaction take place to where God can speak through a mortal man. And that Holy Ghost of God takes that and can speak to our hearts for exactly what we need. That's what's happening. I have no other hope than that God does that. There is no other power, there is no other thing that goes on that I can muster up or manufacture or make happen. That sounded pretty preacher, right? 3 M's in a row. That wasn't even on purpose, right? But there's nothing that I can do to manufacture this so that something lasting or fruitful takes place. That comes from God. Amen. God does that. And when we come to church, we should be expecting good things from God. Why would we not expect good things from God? When has God spoken to your heart? When has God used a preacher to speak to you, maybe about something that only you know about? When has he ever spoken to you and fed you from his word and it wasn't good? We might not have loved it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, and you know, the preaching of God's word, the Holy Spirit's knocking on my heart's door. And when I open that door, it's a rebuke. But it's good for me. It's good for me. My wife's always trying to sneak spinach and grass and stuff from the yard into my salad. She doesn't even like it when I say it right now in front of everybody. But what is she doing it for? She's doing it for my good, because she's like, this guy's not going to eat anything healthy. I have to trick him. I have to put it in there. I have to hide it from him. And what's she doing it for? She's doing it for my good. And I joke around about it, and she doesn't do it all the time. But it's for my betterment. Listen, when the Lord comes and says, hey, there's something that you need to correct, that's good for me. if I correct that. It's good for his glory if I correct that in my life. And that's what the Lord does. He's been nothing but good to me. Why would my expectation be, I'm going to come to church and the Lord's just going to, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good. No, it's going to be good. And when we're looking for it, and when our expectation is set for the Lord to give us good things from him, then, man, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to receive it. In verse number 6, Psalm 62, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "He only is my rock and my salvation." He only is my rock. What is that? That's that rock, that's stability in my life. When the world is chaos, when everything with life and work and family and everything just might be going in a million directions, we can come into a church and we can sit and have the Word of God opened and realize that God is that stability in our lives. He is that rock in our lives that we often need just drawn back to. Just drawn back to the stability of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, we can almost enjoy standing on the sifting and shifting sands. And the life's just so uncertain. Man, we get drawn back to the Word of God and the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the rock that is the Word of God in our lives. And there's stability. There's something that we can count on. And it's the Lord. And we can know that's there. He's unchanging. He's unchanging. We know that if we look back in our Christian lives and say, man, he's always been good, then guess what? Going forward, that's where our confidence is. It's on that. Our confidence is not in the fact, well, what if God just changes his mind? He's not a God subject to change. And in a world that's full of change, in life that's full of change, the Lord's not subject to change. And so thank God he is that stability. He is that unchanging rock in our lives. And David says it well. He only is my rock. He only. Not me. I'm not the rock. I can be up and down with the best of them. We can be all over the place sometimes. Not this world. Not politics. Not income. None of that is stable. But he only is my rock. And we can, when we're looking for something and when we have an expectation of something being good, we can always go to the Lord. We can always look to him. Not only is he only is my rock, he says, and my salvation. He is the help that I need from an outside source. It's above myself. He is my salvation. He's my salvation for my soul. Thank God for that. We bank our soul on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. But he's daily my salvation. Sometimes from moment to moment, he's my salvation to keep me from trouble and to keep me where I need to be. And he is that help. He is that help that he gives to us outside of ourselves. He allows us to do and to be what we should be. David says he's my rock and my salvation. He says he is my defense. My defense. Defense against what? Defense against self. Defense against the enemy. Defense against our own thoughts. Getting sideways a little bit. Defense against the fiery darts of the devil. And I know that we should have the shield of faith and that we should put on the whole armor of God. I understand that, but the Lord, he is my defense. He is my defense. He's the one that when things become overwhelming, I can run to him and hide behind him. I can do that because of his goodness and because of who he is. In verse number 7, he says, "And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." My refuge. I'm glad that we have a shelter that we can go to in the Lord. A place of protection that we can go to in the Lord. When we don't feel strong. when we don't feel like we can just stand on the rock and let what come, the rain and the wind and the fiery darts. Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we have some victory in the Lord and we feel like, man, we can stand and just in God's strength we can conquer. And other times we can feel weak and feeble. We can feel small. And we need something to hide behind. We can go behind the Lord and we can find a shelter in the Lord. It's not a very good shelter. This is a little narrow, all right? Could have got me many ways there. But thank God that we can go to the Lord for a shelter. And we can be there and we can call out unto him and we can cry unto him because he's our refuge. And these are all good things. They're good things. Why? Because we should expect good things from God. We should expect good things from him. Verse number 8, David says, trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. It's faith and not fear. Faith and not fear. We should be able to trust in him at all times. From a father. If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, wouldn't our heavenly father do the same? Sounds almost like it's Bible, right? If we can look back in our lives and think about since we've been saved and see the things we've been through and in God's hand, because we can see it from this side often. We couldn't see it when we were going through it, but we can see it on the other side. And we can look back and see God's hand of mercy and see God moving things for our betterment. Like I said, for his glory and for our betterment. We look back and we say, man, God's hand was never slack. God's hand was never crooked, and God never brought anything into my life that wasn't for a purpose, and that God didn't use something through that to teach me or to grow me in some way. There wasn't anything there where God just left me to myself. And when we look back and we see that, and that's how we should be able to build our faith and build our trust in the Lord. We can run to the shelter of the Lord when we realize he's going to be there and he's there for us. Trust at all times. What's it say? Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. Didn't David do that in the Psalms? As you read through the Psalms, some of the Psalms are victorious in giving God all praise and glory. Some Psalms are full of thanksgiving, just rejoicing in the Lord and thanking God for being God. And sometimes he's saying, Lord, help me. And he's scared and he's running and he's talking about the enemy that's about to get him. Sometimes he's pouring his heart out to the Lord of his own self. Man is at his best state is altogether vanity. He's saying, we have no chance outside of you, Lord. Our best efforts amount to nothing. And what does he do? That's why the Psalms are a blessing to us. That's why we can go to the Psalms and they minister to our souls. They minister to our being. Why? Because we can find ourselves in these places. We can find ourselves reading a psalm of victory. We can find ourselves reading a psalm of uncertainty. We can find ourselves pouring our hearts out unto God, saying, Lord, help me. I'm weak. I'm frail. I'm nothing. And we can go to the psalms in times of trouble. And what happens? It ministers to our heart. Why? Because David poured it all out. And in his example, Asaph and those that were in charge of the music, as you read their psalms, they're the same. They're able to pour themselves out because of the great example of David, the man after God's own heart. And he laid it out there on the line, the good and the bad and the ugly. He poured it all out. And that's what he says for you and I to do. And we can do that. We should do that. And at this time of special meetings from Brother Grip, what should we do? We should let God speak. We should ask him to talk to us. We should expect to hear good things. We can pour out our heart unto the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. Have something. Lord, I'm looking for something for me, Lord. Brother Gip doesn't know most of you. Brother Gip doesn't know what's going on in your life. I don't make a big list and say, all right, there's going to be someone sitting in the back middle over there, and they're going to be right over here to the left, and this is what they're going through. So if you want to be able to touch on this, if you could do that. I don't do that. I had to think in my mind where nobody was sitting tonight, so I wasn't like you. You know? I don't do that to the preacher. Why? It would be fruitless if I did. Why? Because I can't manufacture anything. But I don't know what Brother Gift's going to preach on. I hope it's something I haven't heard. But I don't know what he's going to preach. But he's going to come in and he's going to pray about what God wants him to preach. And he's going to open up the Word of God and speak to our church. And guess what's going to happen? If you're expecting good things from God, if you're asking of God, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Because you know what the amazing thing is about a guest preacher when he comes in and talks to you about exactly what you're going through? If I do it, you'd say, oh, well, he knows or he heard. Pastor must be up to something. But if somebody else comes in here and they open up the Word and preach to you and go, whoa, that must have been the Lord. Yeah, that's how he does it. That's how he does it. I mentioned before and went into great detail about a certain time, and I won't tell the whole story, but our church in New York was going through something, and a man came in, and he stood in the pulpit, and he started talking about this message and how it has this great effect, and it does all these things, and, you know, sometimes you just, yeah, that could be preacher talk, you know? Maybe he thinks highly of his own message. And he said, every time I preach this, man, the Lord does something, and there's something going on, and you know, this whole ordeal. And then he starts preaching. And he wasn't lying. I had to repent. I said, Lord, this man knows what he's talking about. And he was preaching, and those of us, multiple of us in the church, kind of knew of the situation that was happening, and we were doing one of these things. Like, you hearing this? You hearing this guy? Right, that's what we were kind of doing without doing the pointing and everything. But that's what it felt like. And we just sat there as the Lord just gave this to our church. And afterwards, I was like, all right, Pastor, you told him, right? And he's like, nope. And I was like, come on. I mean, it was almost, you know, O ye of little faith. I said, man, the Lord did that. Yeah, he did that. And the Lord does that. That was the first time I really saw the Lord do it, like, corporately. But the Lord's done that many, 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 many times in my own life. Amen. Why? We should expect good things from God. We should. It shouldn't be a surprise to us when we're calling out unto our Father and we need something from him, or we have a question for him, or there's something going on, or there's uncertainty in our lives and a direction, and we need something from God. What can he do? No, he knows exactly what we need. And his Holy Spirit can come down and speak to us. And we should expect good things from God. And my expectations are that you come, that you be here, and that you listen to the Lord, and you wait. And then you hear what God has. Look at it. Turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. 34 and verse number 8. We'll start there. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Look at this part of the verse. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Shall not want any good thing. The contrast is to the lions that lack. The lions lack and they suffer hunger. But the Bible says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, we wouldn't say it like that now, all right? But it means that God provides for us good things. We're not in extra need of good things. Why? Because when we seek the Lord, we should expect good things from him. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And boy, I can sit back and I know there's times in my life where it seems like the Lord's not answering. And it seems like, boy, I'm prepared and I'm ready and I'm listening and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat and I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to give me that answer or to give me that direction or to give me that hard yes or hard no, or I'm waiting for him to just do something miraculous, and you go through the service and you want to receive what God has for you, but you're waiting, and sometimes it just seems like, oh man, God's just not, he's just not good to me. I'm not hearing it. He's not answering me what I need to know and what I'm longing for. And it would take me a while before I realized, oh no, him not answering me is a good thing. Him waiting to give me this answer, waiting to give me the direction to the time when I'm ready for it, waiting to provide this thing for me when it's best for me to receive it, when I'm ready to receive it, when I'm mature to receive it. It's those times I had to learn, no, the Lord is being good to me. Those times of rebuke from the pulpit when I was like, oh, I'm in such dire straits, and now I'm being rebuked from the pulpit from the Lord. This is not a good thing. And it was a good thing. I've said this before. If God is rebuking you through me from this pulpit, with me standing here and you there, that is God's mercy to you, saying, correct it. Correct it. Fix it. That's merciful. That's God's mercy. And it's needful for us. And it's good. It's a good thing from the Lord. It takes a little bit of understanding to know that, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, we know we're greedy. But we're not in need of any good thing. Why? He provides that to his children. He gives that to us. He gives us what we need and when we need it and how we need it. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Comes down from the Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift. That's what God does, and he gives to us, and he provides for us. This weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, these are opportunities that God has for us to receive something from him. These are opportunities that will be established where the Bible will be opened and the truth of God's word will be preached, and we have the ability to receive that for us. And for us to walk away from the meeting and say, well, I don't know, I went away hungry. But if we didn't avail ourselves to the food, if we weren't there wanting and ready and expecting, then yeah, I understand. One of the, probably the most, probably the answer that I've heard the most when somebody is ready to leave a church is they'll say, well, I'm just not getting fed anymore. Yeah. I've heard that more than anything else. For once, I just want to be like, can you just say you don't like me? Can you just say that you don't want to be here anymore? Can you just admit that you're backslidden and you want to go somewhere else? I'm not saying every single person that leaves a church is backslidden. What I'm saying is, if you're not hungry and you don't want to come expecting to get fed and you're just going to complain because it's not your favorite meal, or it's not as hot as you want it to be, or you'd rather eat off a different fork, or whatever. If you're looking for something, you can find it. If you're looking for a reason to not get fed, you can find it. You know, you can pull it. You can walk in and have someone pay for you to go to a buffet, and you can sit there and snub your nose at everything and sit in your chair all you want to. But it doesn't mean that something wasn't there for you. It doesn't mean that God wasn't looking for opportunities to speak to hearts. Amen. Because he does. And so we have this opportunity. It's not going to be me. It's going to be somebody else, a different personality and a different way of preaching. And God can use that. God can use that greatly. He can use that greatly. And I look forward to it. I understand that sometimes the voice that you hear all the time, sometimes it can, you know, kind of start sounding monotone a little bit. You can kind of start to drown. Oh, well, I know how he's going to do this, and this is how he preaches. And then, oh, I know we're at the end because he just repeated all the points that he said earlier. I know the routine now. And we can just kind of start, you know, blocking things out. And so when a new voice comes in, I get excited about it. Why? First of all, I get preached at. It's good for me. Second of all, it's good because now you're hearing a different voice and a presentation. Who's this and what are they up to and how do they preach and what's happening? And you pay attention more. You become interested in things different. It's good. It's a good thing. Are you expecting good things from the Lord? Did you come tonight expecting good things from the Lord? Because if not, you weren't ready. You weren't ready. I know it might not seem like it, but preparation goes into every time that I get up here to preach and give you something from God's Word. And man, what a blessing it would be is if I prepared to preach God's Word and you had prepared to receive God's Word and we came into church and we saw God do something. Man, imagine that. And I know we get busy. I fully understand. But there should be a if you haven't had any time to prepare, man, when we're singing the one or two songs or five on a Sunday morning, you know what you should be doing? You should spend some time to say, Lord, I didn't prepare at all. And life's been chaotic, and maybe I just was slacking off. I'm not ready. But man, before the preacher gets up there and opens up that scripture, I need to get ready. My heart needs to be ready. And we should take that time. We should prepare. Why? Expect good things from God. Expect good things from the Lord. And we have a few days. We have a few days. And tomorrow, I've been praying for the meeting, obviously, but before tomorrow, the evening service, you know what I need to do? I need to say, okay, Lord, I got the easy part tonight. Do a couple songs, say a couple announcements, have a special, ask Brother Gip to come up, and then I get to go sit down beside my wife and say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? I'm expecting to hear good things from you, Lord. What do you have? And to same thing, prepare my own heart for the Lord and be ready for what the Lord has for me and you. All right, so I want to take the rest of this time here that we have is what we would normally have as a prayer time. I want to kind of keep that idea